Interesting story. It's not known precisely when this incident occurred. The messenger of the Lord, who was likely a prophet, went up from Gilgal to a place called Bochim. The place is called Bochim, weeping, due to the incident that we will describe here. He said to a large gathering of Israelites, I took you up from Egypt, he's talking in God's name, and I brought you to the land with regard to which I took an oath to your forefathers, and I said, I will never breach this covenant. As for you, you shall not establish a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. No ties with the Canaanites, not even to leave peacefully them. Rather, smash their altars. You cannot allow the altars of idolaters to remain in your land. But you did not heed my voice. What is this that you have done? I also warned you and said that if you make a covenant with them, I will not expel them any more from before you. But they shall be traps before you, irritants, who will ambush you from the sides, and their gods shall be a snare for you. You may not and cannot successfully intermingle with the Gentile nations. If you do not eradicate them, their hatred for you will persist, and you will forfeit the grace and favor in the eyes of Hashem. The very fact that the messenger spoke to the people in God's name was an entirely new experience for them. It was as the messenger of the Lord spoke these matters to all the children of Israel, the large group that was there, that the people raised their voice and they cried, Vayivku, as they knew they had not fulfilled their responsibilities and they felt guilty and helpless. They called the name of the place Bochim, crying, and they slaughtered there to Hashem. But this did not change much of their behavior, as we will see in the coming days in the stories that we tell. A little bit more for today. A general description of the period of Judges. Up to this point, the book dealt with the overall geopolitical situation in the land. Tribes of Israel have failed to drive out the inhabitants of many Canaanite cities, instead lived amongst them. The people are no longer directly involved in the service of Hashem and do not relate to him in their everyday lives. Although the Mishkan standing, it is apparently not the center of national affairs. Few visit the holy site on a regular basis. For the majority of the people, is no more than a theoretical entity to which they pay nominal respect. This section depicts, in quite a manner, the general structure of life during the period of Judges, while the various major events are presented in detail in the chapters that follow. The repeated pattern consists of troubles and distress experienced by the nation. As a result, they are awakened to remember Hashem and repent. Every so often, when it becomes intolerable, someone arises from amongst the people and improves the matter somewhat. But it's always temporary. So let's go back to the starting point, the end of the previous book. Yoshua had sent the people away after they had operated as a unified army for many years, and the children of Israel had gone, each man to his inheritance, to take possession. The people served Hashem all the days of Yoshua and the days of the elders whose days extended after Yoshua. Those who had seen the great deeds of the Lord that he performed for Israel in the wilderness and the conquest. As mentioned in the last book, Yoshua, servant of Hashem, died at the age of 110 years. They buried him within the border of his inheritance. The entire generation was likewise gathered to its fathers, that first generation, and another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord. Sherlo yadu es Hashem, and they did not know the deeds that he had performed for Israel. This was a generation that was born in the land and lived their routine lives here. Their deeds were nothing more than just doing. It was nothing. It was all stories. So the wonders of the past were quickly forgotten. As we continue learning tomorrow in chapter 2.